Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting today will be Max Cohen from Cottagers Confidential. This episode, we will discuss the very bad loss for Fulham at home to Bristol City at Craven Cottage Tuesday night. Later on, we will preview the upcoming match for Fulham against Wolves Friday night. We also have some very interesting topics to discuss in the Cottage Talk roundtable as well. Before we do anything else, though, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Cohen, how you doing?
Always a pleasure to be on the show, Russ. I'm doing all right. A bit just shocked by the last couple of days in Fulham news. And it gets no easier. Tomorrow night, away to Wolves.
It certainly does not, my friend. I watched a bunch of video on Wolves, and this is a dangerous team. They belong where they are, which is in first place. They've earned it, and it's going to be a huge test for Fulham Friday night. I'm looking forward to the match. But we'll be talking about that in just a bit. Let's start the show by looking back at an extremely disappointing loss, Max. 2-0 to Bristol City. There's a decent amount for us to talk about this, but let's just start with your opening thoughts on what happened Tuesday night.
Just one of the more massively disappointing results I can remember in the past year, because we've become so accustomed to having a team that's really very positive, upward thinking, and we've been lucky the past year with the way things have gone, since our relegation, that we've had really negative results. There's been a very negative mood around the club. And really since the start of the 2016 season, Slavisa's really turned that around.
Right.
With all of last season, the playoff push, there haven't been many nights like Tuesday night, which we can say we're fortunate to have not many nights like this, because it really was pretty low. To have a sense
horrible.
Of really the fan grievance you could feel on social media and at Craven Cottage, and as well as just state of the result. And the state of the performance in general simply wasn't good enough. And the defense is, we'll touch on that, I'm sure, later. The defense
Absolutely.
Was simply shocking. And really, to be where we thought we were going to be at the start of the season, to where we currently sit now, and what the fixtures look like in the next couple of matches, it's cause for major concern, I think. And it's really a sense where that the optimism is kind of gone out of the season, which is remarkable to say in early November. There's still so much to play, but you have a sense that it's going to be a difficult season, and we're going to need a response from the side, that's for sure. We need a response. We need a strong response from the manager and the players to show that the season is not going to be a waste, that we're going to be where we should be, which is the top six.
Absolutely, Max. And what's interesting about all of this shocking result, shocking match, and we're going to go through it in just a few minutes. But what's also interesting is that even with all of this, I believe right now Fulham have a 2-point difference from where they were last season, which is amazing to think. And I also believe that they are only 6 points away from sixth. Again, with everything going on, Max, they're still within distance of sixth place, and they're not far off where they were last season. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a great point that you brought it up. We're only 6 points off Derby in sixth position. But the fact of the matter is that on the face of it, you're like, okay, we're only 6 points off. But looking at the table, we are 16th, which is 10 places.
Yeah.
So we have to jump over 10 teams, basically, to get in that playoff spot, which is the more difficult part, is how many teams are between us in the playoffs in this moment. Now, that being said, it's still very early on. It's still around about a third of the season almost exactly played. So with a third gone, two-thirds to go, that's so many matches to turn this around. There's no doubt that this team has the quality to turn it around. No one can write us off in early November. But we're not seeing much that's going to give me optimism for a run that we had last season. Because last season, you made a good point, that we are basically in a very similar position as 2016-17. But at the end of last season, we went on a run that was simply superb. And I remember this time last season was when we started to, I think it was a 5-0 over Huddersfield.
That's right.
Or Reading at home, which sparked that kind of revival. And we haven't had a result like that. Not anything remotely close to a result like that this season. So we just need to turn the corner, find something within us, change the starting lineup, change the formation. Now, I don't think we should change a manager at all. I've seen some things on Twitter, on social
media, we'll talk about that in a
flat
bit.
Out. But I don't think it's time for major change in that respect. But yes, we are still, we're only 6 points off, but a sizable way down the table. That's something that needs to be addressed.
Very good points there, Max. And what's interesting about all of this is that I know that they're only 6 points away but it feels like miles away. And I'm glad that you put that the way you did. The interesting part about this is that you were talking about they don't look like the same team from last season. I couldn't agree with you more. But all it takes is a run. And what I think that they need is a response against Wolves. And you're talking about the team that's at the top of the table. If you see a response and you see the team that, say, played against Ipswich Town, then the confidence starts to rise and you can build on that. But they need a result like that. I'm talking about the Ipswich Town match. They need to have a result like they did at Newcastle United. That's what they need. They're going to be on TV Friday night. We're all going to be watching. What type of response are we going to get from Fulham Football Club? It could be positive or it could be shambolic. I don't know what to expect, honestly, because what I've seen lately, you would have to say leads towards shambolic. But I've also seen a team that has the ability, like you said, Max, to turn things around. So that's what makes this match Friday night so fascinating. Which Fulham team is going to show up? And only time will tell, my friend. All right. Before we go through both halves, one thing that I do want to ask you about. Savica did change the shape going into this match, Max. And I was actually encouraged when I saw that he was going to do this. So what did you think before the match when you saw the starting 11 and also saw the formation?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in past matches of the need for a change in the formation. And he did. He had a massive change in the sense that he went with three at the back, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, we're not used to having that. Certainly this season, we've not seen it much, so it's definitely a rarity. And he put in Odoi, which is something that I've kind of pressed for in the past, because I think Odoi deserves a lot more time than he's getting in the first team lineup. So having that back three of Odoi, Kallis, and Ream was something that I think should have worked, in addition to having Fredrickson and Sessegnon in more advanced positions. Everyone's been saying Sessegnon isn't a pure left back. He needs to be farther forward, which I agree with. We've obviously seen Fredrick's offensive capabilities as well. So on the face of it, this starting 11 was very positive, and I think with the exception of having Font on the bench, which I think was a major decision
right.
by Savica, I think Font should have started this match. I would have loved to see his partnership with Kamara again in place. I think Ayute should have been on the bench if you're going to play a 3-5-2. So that's the one thing question I would have had with this formation. But apart from that, on paper, it should have worked brilliantly.
It should have.
And in the end, we basically got overran. I think it's clear that Kallis and Ream and Odoi are just not the same players they were last season. The defense was shocking, and I think we're going to get into that later on.
Yeah, absolutely there, my friend. And what's interesting about this, like you said, on paper, I thought this was going to work. This is a team that plays a 4-4-2. I believe that they actually changed it up for this match, and I think Gentleman Jim said they went with a 4-1-4-1. They had changed their shape. And Mike Gregg actually tweeted this out after the match that obviously we all like the change to a 3-5-2, but did they have enough time to actually practice the 3-5-2? And I think that's a question that I have about it. I like the change of the formation, but was part of this situation that they have not practiced it enough this season, Max?
I think that's also a good point to bring up, because whenever you change formation, it's going to be a totally different style of play, and players have to be – you can't change formation if the players aren't going to be ready to carry out to a T exactly what that formation requires. So having a match on the weekend and having a match Tuesday night and then having a match Friday, this is just a crazy week in terms of scheduling, in terms of matches are coming thick and fast, and is this the right time to make a major change in the formation?
Yeah.
Possibly not, I think. But at the same time, we've all been clamoring for a change.
I know.
And when results don't go your way, you want to change. At the same time, you might have to take a step back and say, well, is this the right decision? Is this too risky to go for a change if the players aren't completely sure of their roles within the 3-5-2? And I just think I'm looking again at the defense. I don't think Kallis, Ream, Odoi were ready for it.
Yep.
Just for each goal, it's completely overran. Just Ream for me, I think he was shocking in terms of pace and Kallis as well. And then you're going to bring in the central midfielder for both goals were cutbacks.
Yep.
And the second goal in particular, where is McDonald? Where is Johansson? I'm not going to pick on Kearney because I don't think he should do the defensive capabilities, but maybe
right.
in this formation he has to, and they weren't ready for that because you had the Bristol City player just running completely unopposed and slotted, had all the time in the world to spot home without players in 5 yards of him in a dangerous position in the box. So, again, you had to point fingers at the players and at the marking. And is that due to this formation? That's possibly an explanation.
Again, it's just a thought, but I've wanted them to go three at the back. So how can I blame Savisa for changing it? And I guess I am, because I'm saying, well, did you practice it enough? I don't know, you know, but it's a formation that probably needs time. And it'll be interesting to see if he pulls this out again. But I am confirming from the FulhamFC.com website that Bristol City did play a 4-1-4-1. So that's interesting. So they were 4-4-2 the entire season. So they changed it. So Lee Johnson changed his shape as well. And it worked for them. They were compact. They were tight. And they were a well-oiled machine. And listen, they deserved this victory. They outplayed Fulham in every way. They took advantage of their opportunities very well there, my friend. But let's go through this real quick in the first half. In the fourth minute, you have the shot by Stefan Johansson. Then you have a couple opportunities, Max, from Ryan Sessegnon. In the 22nd minute, you have a shot that skims the crossbar. And then 1 minute later, you have the shot that just goes wide, set up by Kamara. So you had some opportunities there. And then, unfortunately, you have the two goals, the 30th minute goal by Bobby Reed, and then Corey Smith in the 40th minute. And what's interesting about this, Max, like I'm talking about here, the one thing that stood out for me in the first half is that Fulham had some decent opportunities, but they were contested every single way. Every player was contested. They were in our grill, every player. Just to get the ball up the pitch seemed to be a major effort, Max. And I guess I have to give credit to Bristol City for that, but they were playing with confidence, urgency, and I didn't see that type of confidence and urgency from Fulham in the first half. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And you did mention with the Sessegnon chances that it wasn't all doom and gloom for Fulham.
No.
I think we saw situations where the 3-5-2 is going to pay dividends. When you push Sessegnon in that more advanced role, you know he's a threat on the attack, and he showed that. I think he was very unlucky not to score that first opportunity 20 minutes in that hit the crossbar. And just imagine if that chance had gone in, and it's a completely different match, and we go ahead, and maybe we play with more confidence and get the 3 points. And then you mentioned as well, 2 minutes later, I think possibly an even easier chance that fell to him off a loose ball. He probably should have put it in the back of the net. That went narrowly wide. Again, we saw where we can be dangerous on the attack with a 3-5-2, but we weren't clinical with our chances. I mean, he is 17. You don't expect him to put that away like a seasoned striker, but we didn't take our chances, and you're right. Bristol City had a great game plan in the sense that they know that a team that presses us is always going to give us problems. And when they deny that kind of easy outlet ball, we're going to be a bit nervy and not play our game. And their two goals off the break, Odata for me was terrorizing on that right wing, Reem in particular. And they knew where to hit us.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's now move to the second half. Fulham makes some changes. And let's just go through your thoughts on the second half. We have to talk about the red card to Abubakar Kamara and how that changes the rest of the match. You did have the opportunity from Kevin McDonald, but beyond that, it was going to be difficult sledding, especially after Kamara goes off. I just want your overall view of the second half.
Yeah, we didn't start nearly as well as I think we should have. I think I remember Bristol, we were looking pretty open in the defense, and Bristol City had numerous opportunities to break on us even before the sending off. And once the sending off happened, major question marks over what actually happened. I think this is one of the rare situations in which there was a sending off at a stadium of 20,000 odd people. We had the TV stream for the international people, and I don't think one person saw the incident.
Yeah. You know,
I didn't see one tweet, one video, or anything. People said he punched him, he elbowed him. I mean, there was an altercation off the ball, but the referee has to go to the assistant to make the decision. So it wasn't even the referee's decision in his own. So that was certainly an odd decision. And of course, once you go down to 10, down 2-0, it's going to be a massively frustrating last half an hour. That being said, I think the one positive I would draw from the last couple minutes is the introduction of Suarez and Font. I think Font, for all his faults, people have given him, I think his work rate in that second half was really impressive to me. There are many situations when him and Suarez...
I'm glad you're bringing this up. Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people didn't really mention this. He was chasing the ball down rapidly, and the situations, him and Suarez, they kind of double-team players, they won it back and had some positive situations.
Suarez looks like a player as well, Max.
Exactly. Suarez is very impressive. I think you have to give him the start. in the next match and put Sessegnon further up and have him and the defender on the wing, I think that is where we're going to get a lot of success on that left wing if we have Suarez and Sessegnon. That's going to be a very dangerous combination. And he looked very good. It was a shame that his debut had to come in this kind of circumstances. But I think the second half, you had some positives, even though much of it was just kind of us chasing around Bristol City. There was some decent heart shown by Rui Font in particular that gave me encouragement because he got benched. No footballer likes getting benched, and he responded saying, "I'm just going to work hard for the team," and chose to at least deserve to start.
What's interesting about some of these players that we have gotten over the summer, I'm talking about expensive players like Abubakar Kamara and Rui Font, both of them have a high work rate. I think both of them want to be at Fulham, and both of them are giving the team everything that they can. Unfortunately, we're not seeing it in goals, and I think that's what everyone's pointing at, and I understand that. But you cannot deny the work rate. So I'm glad that you brought that up, Max.
Yeah, the work rate is something that is positive, but at the same time, Kamara needs to be a lot more mature. I mean, Obviously, it's unclear what he actually did, but the fact is he gave the referee reason to send him off. And
right.
When you're down 2-0 chasing the match, you got to have a bit more sense of that. And there were situations earlier on in the match when he just completely went flying in, recklessly on Bristol City defenders when he had no chance to win the ball, just barged them over. And on one hand, you love to see the passion, but on the other hand, that's just reckless. You can't be doing that in top flight football.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's move on from that. Let's leave that behind, and we will be talking about the Wolves match in just a bit. But we have a couple topics that definitely we need to talk about in the Cottage Talk Roundtable. I'm bringing back the roundtable. It's just me and you, but we're going to talk about these topics. Both are very interesting. Let's start with number one, Max. It's the situation with Craig Klein. We have to talk about this. Craig Klein has left the club, and I'm going to read an article from Ryan O'Donovan from Get West London, which is going to talk a little bit about this and his replacement. The entitled article is, "Who is Fulham's new interim data analyst, James Lovell? All you need to know." And he goes into details of who James Lovell is. I just want to read a little bit from his article because it talks about the situation with Craig Klein. So here we go. This is from Ryan's article. "Fulham's assistant director of football operations, Craig Klein, left the club on Tuesday after a controversial period at the West London outfit. The American data analyst worked closely with Tony Khan on refining the data system for Mr. Khan's analytics company, True Media, and played an important role in the signing of new players at the club based on the two-tick policy. Any new player at the club had to tick the boxes of both Klein's data model and the scouting department, led by ex-Fulham man Brian Talbot, who also reports directly to Mr. Khan. However, Klein has now left the club, and a Fulham spokesperson confirmed to Get West London that James Lovell will now serve as the interim data analyst. But who exactly is he?" Again, I would just go to Ryan's article and you'll learn a little bit about him. He's been with the club since 2011. So it's someone that has experience with Fulham Football Club. That's a good thing. But for our discussion, I want to just really focus on Craig Klein leaving the club and just get your thoughts on that, Max. What did you make of this when you heard the news? Listen, there's a lot of other speculation in regards to Klein. We're not going to be talking about all that other stuff. We're going to focus on Klein leaving Fulham Football Club and just leave it at that. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are just confusion and just really surprised because only back in February, when Slavisa's contract was extended, in addition, we had Craig Klein appointed officially assistant director of football operations and director of statistical research. And that at the time was a very prestigious role. And a lot of people were saying, wow, he's now an established part of the club setup. And remember, 2 years ago, he was sent back home to the States after clashing
with
senior figures at Fulham. And now he was back in February officially with a very senior role. And it seemed as Tony Khan was promoted to vice chairman, so did his very good friend Craig Klein also was promoted inside the club. So it's obvious Tony Khan and Craig Klein are very close. There have been articles about them. They met in university. They're good friends. They started a statistical analysis company together. And now with Craig Klein leaving, it's just shocking because I think a lot of people expected him to be kind of untouchable. You know, he's the mate of the chairman's son, and he's also a very high up role. People like that don't just get sacked, you know, without something happening. So obviously, we're not going to get into that. Something obviously happened.
Right.
Whatever the speculation is, that's not for us to say.
Right.
But it's, I think it signals a big change in maybe what's going to happen in scouting because, of course, the two boxes ticked. Was all the rage. Everyone had an opinion on that, how you had to have the scouting and the statistical side to get a signing. But at the same time, people said maybe that two boxes ticked method led to a very successful transfer window in the 2016 summer when we got 11 players and many of them were successes. Is that going to change? Are we going to have less success transfer? Obviously, this might mean Slavisa has more say in transfer dealings. But I think for me, there's a lot of confusion over really what this means. Are we really shifting away from statistics? I mean, Tony Khan is still there. I mean, you know, Tony Khan's a big stats guy.
Right.
What does Craig Klein leaving mean?
Right. And that's what's fascinating about all this. My first thought was, well, this gives Slavisa more power. But I don't know that. On the face of it, that was the first thing that went through my mind. I'm thinking, okay, this guy's gone. Now Slavisa has more power, but there might be a lot more going on that we just don't know exactly how this is all going to shake out. The one interesting part is that James Lovell is taking over, and he does have experience with Fulham Football Club. Like I mentioned, it goes back to 2011. This is someone that has been involved, so it's not someone from the outside. It's someone that's already involved to what they're doing. So he's not Craig Klein, but he is someone that has been dealing with analysis. I'll actually read a little bit from what he's been doing with Fulham, just to give it a little background. Again, this is from Ryan's article. Although working heavily in pregame, in-game, and post-match analysis delivery for the first team, Lovell has been involved in the development and use of data in the club scouting process to help identify players of interest and influence the scouting process at the club. Okay, so that tells me, Max, that he's already been involved. So I'm not, again, this is an interim job, but it's someone that has knowledge to what they're doing at Fulham. So it might not be as bad as maybe people think with this guy leaving. You still have someone that has knowledge of how they do business.
Exactly. So it's not totally
analytics wise, I should say.
Yeah. It's not going to be completely shifting it up, but for sure that controversial figure, Craig Klein, who, as you know, in the past has clashed with figures, he's out. So hopefully with that out, there'll be less controversy around the stats department and maybe more stability. But it's really still to be seen.
It's still to be seen. This is a very interesting situation with Fulham Football Club. It's something that we will be following on Cottage Talk, and we just have to learn more information before we talk about anything else. That's why I wanted to talk about this just as Craig Klein leaving, because there's all kinds of speculation on why he's leaving. We just don't know, and we're not going to talk about that until we know more information. All right. Max, another subject that I have to talk to you about. Again, a lot of talk after the game. This is natural. When teams lose, you start hearing talk like this. It's only natural. It happens in all sports, wherever you are. There's now talk about Slavisa Jokanović. Is his job in jeopardy? So I'm going to ask you, do you think it is?
For me, that's I think, a ridiculous proposition for people to say. Of course, it is being said, and I think it's a good question to ask, but I think for sure
Personally, I think it's utterly ridiculous, and I'm sorry for the people that are going to disagree with me. I'm going to be very vocal on this. You don't get rid of the head coach. You just don't do that. I'll just say this, and I'm sorry to jump in. They've invested a lot of money in getting Slavisa here, time and effort getting him here. They built the team around Tom Kearney, but these are players to work within Slavisa's system, I believe. I don't think they're getting rid of the head coach, and I don't believe that they should get rid of the head coach, Max. Sorry about that.
No, I'm 100% in agreement with that. I think it's pretty laughable to say that Slavisa should be sacked after a couple of bad results. Of course, everyone can agree we're not where we should be in this moment, but to sack Slavisa would really be just a waste of the past year and a half of what we've done.
Right.
And you look at it, if you're whenever you're going to sack a manager, you're gonna say, who are you going to get? I don't think anyone is going to come to Fulham and be as comfortable and be as used to our setup and have success as Slavisa. I think it's perfectly primed for Slavisa to have success. the way we're set up, the players we have. It's a team he's totally formed, and it's a team that's been backed massively by Shahid Khan in the past transfer window. So we've given them the money, we've given them the players. I think it would be just a travesty to sack Slavisa, and luckily I don't think there actually are any legitimate rumors that his job is in jeopardy. And I think when you see his comments before the Wolves match, it's very clear he intends to right the ship, and he has no question that he's going to stay on here. He's not going to think of leaving or going away.
Listen, he's saying all the right things, and I think Slavisa is the man for Fulham Football Club. I still believe it, and nothing has changed that. The results have not been good. Here's the thing, Max. Here's the difference that I want everyone to understand. I have disagreed with several things that Slavisa has done. When you win as a team, lose as a team, and draw as a team, everyone is accountable. He's accountable as well. I want to give him credit for trying to change the formation. I think that was a good attempt to try to change things. Didn't work, but at least he tried to change things. He's not perfect. No one's perfect down there. They're all underperforming. That includes everyone. He should be held accountable for the results, but that does not mean sacking the manager, Max.
Yeah, to sack is, we're in this crazy environment nowadays where you have a run of three bad results and everyone's calling for your head, and that's just not a healthy environment for a man.
No, it's
thriving.
Not. It's not.
So yeah, you can't sack him. You can't even. I don't think he should even be discussed, honestly.
Listen, I understand why it's happening, and it's just the culture that we're in. It happens. It's happening at Sheffield Wednesday. Their manager keeps on hearing it. I talk to friends that follow Sheffield Wednesday, and they have to defend the manager because they believe in the manager, but there are calls for him to be removed, even though that they are getting some results, but they are underperforming as well. And part of it is the league. This season, this division has so much parity in it that all the teams have a shot at it. Like at 16th, you know, Fulham still are in this. You know, it doesn't look good because they're not playing well. And if they can right the ship and start getting results, things can change very quickly. We haven't seen the indications that it's going to change. They need to make a change. But changing the head coach is not the answer to me, and I'm not going to change my mind on that. Not at all. And I just, you know, I've seen the talk, well, if they get defeated heavily by Wolves, is he out? And I still don't think he's out. I could be wrong. I'm not perfect. I could be totally wrong. I just don't believe that even if they got destroyed Friday night, that he'd be out. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. All right, Max, let's move on. Let's now talk about this upcoming match against Wolves. They are a dangerous side. And like I mentioned earlier, they deserve to be where they are because they've had a very good season so far, 15 matches in. So I will give them high praise. They deserve to be where they are. But this is an interesting matchup. And before we talk about them specifically, I want to do my stats comparison that I get from WhoScored.com. Just get your thoughts on that. And then I will read you some characteristics again from WhoScored.com on Wolves to give us a feel for who Fulham are going to be playing at Molyneux Friday night. All right. Start with goals. Currently, Wolves are tied for first at 27, Fulham are 18th with 18. Shots per game, Wolves are tied at 9th at 13.2. Fulham are tied at 5th with 14. Aerials, Wolves are at 16th with 19. Fulham are last at 13.8. Possession, Wolves are currently 9th at 51.5. Fulham are first at 56.2. Passing accuracy, Wolves are 5th at 79.5. Fulham are first at 82.4. Now let's go to long balls. These are passing stats. Currently, Wolves are tied at 19th with 70, and Fulham are last at 57. Short passes, Wolves are 5th at 409, and Fulham are first at 461. All right, Max, what do you make of this stats comparison that I get from WhoScored.com? What does it tell you?
The most striking stat for me is they have the most goals scored in the division. So they're an attacking side. They take a lot of shots. They also possess the ball like us. They attempt a lot of short passes. I know their 3-4-3 formation is very attacking.
Yep.
And they're just, I think, the most dangerous squad in the division. And they're top of the league for a reason. They have some unbelievable players who you kind of look back and think, wait, how on earth are these players in the championship? They're coming on loan from some of Europe's top leagues.
Yep.
It's a very, very threatening side. and there's no surprise they're top of the league. And I think comparisons to Newcastle away last season are very apt. I mean, it's a very good comparison because it's a very similar type of side. It's players who are above the quality of the championship. They score a lot of goals at the top of the league. They're hard to beat. The stats definitely tell me that Fulham are in for a big challenge, not necessarily one that they cannot meet based on what we've seen from them in the past, but definitely a team that possesses much quality.
Absolutely, Max. All right. Let's now go to some more information on Wolves. Let's start where both teams are in the league. Like I mentioned, they are currently first. 10 victories, 2 draws, 3 losses, scored 27, only given up 15, plus 12 goal differential, and are on 32 points. Fulham are currently 16th, 4 victories, 7 draws, 4 losses, scored 18, given up 17 on a plus 1 goal differential, and are on 19 points. Let's now go to team characteristics. Strengths, according to WhoScored.com, very strong at finishing scoring chances, counterattacks, strong at creating chances through individual skill, also strong at creating scoring chances, stealing the ball from the opposition. Weaknesses, defending against long shots, protecting the lead, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, and very weak defending set pieces. Style, short passes, playing in their own half, consistent first 11. They do play the 3-4-3 formation that we talked about, Max. Leading goal scorers are Bonatini at 9, Jota at 7, then all the way down to Caviero at 2. They have several, and I mean several, dangerous players that we'll be talking about in a little bit, my friend. All right, let's just get your opening thoughts on Wolves heading into this match.
They're the best team in the league, and that's just the fact of it. They have a really well-known manager, the Portuguese manager, and they also have some very good Portuguese players, including Neves, striker Bonatini, the young Brazilian, he's superb as well. They just possess so much quality. And I think on paper, they're the best team in the division. And by the table, they're the best team in the division. That being said, I think we talked about this earlier. Fulham did go to the best team in the division last season, Newcastle, and win 3-1 in a commanding performance.
Right.
Could have been a lot more. And we do tend to play better away than we do at home, which is the fact of the past season. The past season was the first time in a long time that we had more away points than home points. And I think we're seeing that again this season in the way we've played and the way we set up. We tend to get more points away than home. So there's some positives, obviously not many positives when you're playing a team as good as Wolves, but I think there's some causes for optimism in terms of this match.
The one thing that I'm going to say, Max, before we talk a little bit more about Wolves, you and I have talked about this before. I think the teams that give Fulham the most trouble are the teams that high-press them, that, again, are trying to take away our passing game. It's not that they're not wanting to play football, but they're trying to take away what Fulham want to do. Based on what I've watched and what I've read and what I've seen and what they're doing with Wolverhampton Wanderers, they seem like the team that wants to play the way they want to play, play football, force their way. And I think that their style of play suits how Fulham want to play. This is going to be an open match, my friend. And I think it's going to be decided in central midfield, and the team that handles it better in central midfield is going to win this match. But I think that their style of play, it's dangerous, but I think the fact that they're going to just take it to Fulham, I think will give us opportunities, Max. Your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think we do kind of tend to perform better into top sides. You saw how we struggled on the weekend against the worst team in the division, Bolton, and now we're playing the best team in the division, in Wolves, so... And if we can draw Bolton and beat Wolves, I mean, that would show you how well this team does against the top sides.
Yep.
That being said, we lost the fourth place team at home in Bristol on Tuesday, so we don't always excel against the top sides. But I do agree with the general statement that the way we kind of set up, we do like teams who also are going to want to play football and not just kind of sit back and play football.
Okay, excellent there, Max. All right, one thing that I want to mention before I get your dangerous players for this match for Wolves, what I watched, I just want to talk about their three up front because they intermingle very well. I'm talking about Jota, Bonatini, and Caviero, all three extremely dangerous, and they work very well together. The key for me in this match is not letting their central midfield get the ball to these three, because once it gets to these three, look out, because their play together is excellent. So I want to get your thoughts on players that scare you, I'm just going to say Yota Bonatini, but Neves, I think, is going to be a major key for them as well.
I mean, you just look, looking at these players, you almost have to sit back and say, wow, they're playing for Wolves. I mean, Jota, he's on loan from Atletico Madrid. Neves was signed from Porto.
Yep.
You also have Helder Costa. He doesn't even start. He's such a quality player. He came in again in the first 11.
That's right.
He played for Monaco and in some Portuguese side in the past. So these players are possess immense quality. They're used to playing. I mean, I know Neves was the youngest Champions League captain ever when he played for Porto last season. And I think a lot of this is due to the coach, Nuno, who used to coach at Porto and knows a lot of these young Portuguese players from his time there. So he just had a team built of young, talented, attacking players who possess so much creativity. And, I mean, they score the most goals in the league, and they're just so dangerous. And you mentioned the front three. If it gets to them, you know, you have to hope. Just like hope for your luck that they don't score, because on most times they will.
Yeah.
And looking at our defense,
they're extremely clinical, Max. They're very clinical. They're the opposite of Fulham. They're very clinical.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, actually, in the stats, we take more shots per game than them, but they score the most goals, and we're down in, you know,
that's right,
mid-table in terms of that. So that shows how clinical they are.
Extremely.
I just fear for Callison Ream. I mean, if we couldn't handle, you know, Callum O'Dowda, how are we going to handle, you know, Bonatini, Cavallero, and Jota, you know?
So, yeah, it's going to be a tough task for our defense in this match, because this team is extremely dangerous. But let's now transition. Let's talk about players that need to play well. Obviously, the center backs need to play well. I don't think that is a big shocker there. But I think, this is just my opinion, that this match is going to be won in central midfield. So I'm going to put this, I think the key player for both teams in this match is going to be former Wolves player Kevin McDonald. He was huge at Molineux last year. I think he is massive for Fulham in this match.
I agree. He has to show that Wolves made a mistake by letting him go. He has to show that Fulham are the top side here. And he has to control his match, because with the skill Wolves possess, you need a firefighter in the field who's going to put out those creative players and just mollify them and serve as a springboard for our counterattacks, which I assume we're going to be possessing. I also think a big player for me is going to be our wingers, which I think will be Seth Mignon and Campano, hopefully. If they can play well, I think the team is going to play very well. And we need to hit them with pace, because that's what we possess. That's how we can score goals. So if McDonald can serve as that sponge and let our attacking players really show their flair, which we haven't seen in recent matches. And one thing I'd like to bring up, a bit off topic, but we had talked a lot about, do we miss Shoni Aluko? And just looking back at Fulham, I post a lot of highlight videos from last season. I've seen the Wolves match, the Bristol City match, and how we played in those matches. I've realized such a big part of how we play was Aluko's kind of surging run forward. And a lot of stuff has been made about how, oh, he's a terrible finisher, which is true, but you just realize how much of a spark he was. How his dribbling, his penetration, his acceleration was so valuable to this team. And I think we are missing that currently.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's now get to it. How do Fulham win this match, Max? I don't want to talk about a draw. Obviously, I think that we would take a draw. But how do they win this match? This is an attacking team. What would be your approach if you were Slavisa?
We have to be solid at the back is the first thing. And we've looked anything but solid at the back for whole season. I mean, I sent out a tweet that it's been 11 matches since we kept a clean sheet, since that Ipswich match. We talked about it before the Bolton match, and we thought that was going to be the match, you know, against one of the worst teams in the division. We couldn't keep a clean sheet against them. And if we can't do it against Bolton, how are we going to be able to do it against Wolves? Of course, we'd love a clean sheet, but it's proven so elusive for us this season. And you have to point fingers at all of the defense, and this is a match where they had to step up and show they are the same team as last season when our defense was one of the best in the division, and that was really a strength for us. So the defense is what I'm looking at. We have to win this game through our defense, because if we're leaky at the back and we go down, it's going to be very difficult to pull goals back out of the field against Wolves.
I totally agree, my friend. All right, let's get to it. Give me your starting 11. While we are recording this, we still don't have the appeal situation with Abubakar Kamara. So we don't know what's going on there. Fulham are appealing, and that ruling's supposed to come down soon. So I would just assume he's not going to play, Max. So what is your starting 11?
Yeah, I think that's a good assumption. I think we'll probably rule out Kamara for this, but I'm going to go with a 4-3-2-1 formation We haven't played that much this season, but that was where we had a lot of success last season. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with a back four of Suarez, Callis, Adoy, and Fredericks. I'm going to have two holding midfielders in Johansson and McDonald.
Okay.
And I'm going to have Kearney, Sessegnon, and Cabano as the midfield three. And the lone striker up top is going to be Rui Font.
Okay. Very good there, my friend. All right. It's time to go to predictions. And I actually put a poll up late, so I don't have that many votes on the Cottage Talk Twitter poll. I normally put them up hours before, so this is just an hour prior. I already have 70 votes in an hour. That's pretty good. But win is only at 20%, Max. Draws 11%, and losses at 69%. I think you can understand why those stats are the way that they are for this match. All right. All right, Max, while I pull up what they're saying on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, what is your prediction for the match?
I think I've predicted a win almost every single time I've been on the show recently.
You have.
But I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. With the conference, with the result in midweek, I cannot, you know, I'm not confident enough to say we're going to get the win. I'd love to say to get a famous away win at Wolves, like we produced last season. But I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. I think we're going to battle very well. I think it's going to be morale boosting in terms of the draw. But I don't think we have enough to get 3 points at Molineux.
Okay. All right, Max. I'm going to read some comments from the Fulham supporters. Again, I put this up late, so I don't have as many as I normally do. But let's start here. Let's start on the Cottage Talk Facebook page with Gary Cooper. What does Gary Cooper has to say? 3-0 to Wolves. Jason Jowden, further descent into sadness. Oh, that's horrible, Jason. I hope you're wrong. I really do. Jordan Emmett, Wolves 4-1. Okay, Chris Davidson says, can't say I'm looking forward to it, but knowing Fulham, they will probably surprise us and win. It's a very good point. Barry Palmer, it's going to be a typical Fulhamish result. I bet we win 2-1. Very interesting. Gex Owens says 2-0 to Fulham. George Kenton says 3-1 to Fulham. Roger Lewis, I've never predicted a defeat in my life. 1-0 to us, a shock all around. Okay, Roger Pink says, after the first half display against Bristol City, 10-0 to Wolves. Clive Sexton, 2-2. And Jared Giffis says 3-1 to Wolves. All right, Max, it's my time. Now, listen, I have actually predicted a Fulham loss on several occasions. I have. And everything in my body says I should be predicting a Fulham loss here. Makes sense. You're going against the best team in the league. Everything is pointing in that direction. It all is. There's no way I should be predicting a Fulham victory. No way. And if I'm about to do what you probably think I'm going to do, here in New England, I'd probably be called a homer for predicting, say, a Red Sox victory or a Patriots victory. I don't care. 3-1 to Fulham. That's my prediction.
Classic 3-1. You know, let's hope this is the time. We know better time to get a 3-1.
Yeah, I'm going.
I'm going down
with a ship. There, I'm going down. I'm going down swinging. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going down swinging.
I think that's actually a really good prediction because away at Norwich last season, when it looked improbable that we win, we won 3-1. Of course, away at Newcastle was 3-1. It's not a bad shout. I think it's a good shout. You know, if we're going to win away at a top side, it's probably going to be 3-1.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how stupid I am. I'm probably going to be stupid. On Friday night, because we're going to be doing a post-match show. Giannis and I were doing a post-match show, and I'll mention how stupid I was to predict 3-1. But you know me, Max. I'm a very positive, glass-half-full fan, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to predict a Fulham victory. All right, my friend, before we go, final thoughts.
After such a tumultuous week, the last team you want to play is going to be Wolverhampton Wanderers. But that's the situation we find ourselves in. And I think the player's got to make the best out of it. I think
maybe it's the best situation, Max. Maybe
exactly.
Going against them, it could be the exact opposite. Maybe it's the best situation for them.
Yeah. And I know, like I say this every week, honestly. But, you know, this is a match that can turn around our season. I've said that in the past 5 weeks, you know, where it still doesn't turn around. But maybe this will be true. That if we get a really good result away at Wolves, people can say, you know what? We're the team we are last season, you know? We did make the playoffs, finished sixth. And then the belief starts to be fostered, and we think, we're not a bottom half of the table team. We're going to be challenging at the top half of the table. In the right half, we're going to get promoted. And once the confidence gets in these players, we possess the quality. They just need to start playing like it.
We do, Max. That's what gives me hope. But it's difficult right now. That's why everything in my body says, why am I predicting a victory? I'm just being a homer, you know, what some fans do here with the Patriots. Just, you know, always believe that they're going to win, always going to believe all the good things. I don't believe all the good things. I think there's a lot of bad going on right now. But something just tells me when you expect the worst, you see the best. So I'm going 3-1. All right, my friend, great show. But it is time to go. For Max Cohen, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you again for listening to Cottage Talk.